This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, the Green Party candidate in the State House district that includes parts of Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties, John Anthony LaPietra. But first,
stuttering was something I never talked about. Every time I opened my mouth, I felt like there was something wrong with me.
Michael Turner's story of how stuttering has affected his life and how he came to terms with it is the basis of the documentary film The Way We Talk. Turner will be at Kalamazoo Valley Community College on Thursday when his film is screened at the Dale B. Lake Auditorium. The Western Michigan University chapter of the National Student Speech Language Hearing Association is hosting the screening to raise money for Camp Shoutout, the camp for youth who stutter is hosted near Muskegon each summer. Filmmaker Michael Turner joins us by phone. Thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Gordon.
And Western Michigan University Professor of Speech, Language, and Hearing Services, Stephen Tasco, is with us in studio. Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here, Gordon.
Michael, let's start with you. When did you decide that you wanted to make this film?
I actually shot the first scene of it way back in 2009. I was on a trip with a friend of mine, and he asked me how it felt to stutter. And I was 25 years old at that time, and no one had ever asked me that. I had never really talked about it. And I felt a lot of things when he asked me. Like, I felt kind of embarrassed about it, that people could actually see it. But I could also see how earnest he was, and like how interested he was. And we were on like an all night drive and ended up talking about it quite a bit. And so that kind of planted the seed of just what if I was more open about this thing that I've always tried to hide.
Can you remember being young and maybe realizing for the first time that you did stutter and that it might, you know, create a problem or get in the way of something you wanted to do?
You know, that's a good question. That's something I talked about with my brother for the movie, because he stutters too, and I was kind of curious when it started, but neither of us could really remember a starting point. It was just more like, it was just always there. Like, every time I would just be in class and want to say something, or out with my, you know, like out like trying to order food, or just any time I would have like a social interaction, it would just be there kind of pulsing in the background of that, this kind of sense of like shame or something was wrong.
Stephen, what do we know about stuttering? What do we know about why someone stutters?
Well, that's a really good question, Gordon. The short answer is we really don't know the details of the whys of stuttering. We're starting to gain a lot of information over the last number of years. We've been studying the problem for a long time. We do know a few things. We do know that there is a tendency for stuttering to run in families, and that there's a lot of work being done around the world and here in the U.S. trying to understand the genetic basis of stuttering. So we do know that for many people who stutter, there may be some genetic predisposition. It tends to run in families. We also know from some recent work that's being done in a number of places, including here in Michigan, over at University of Michigan and Michigan State University, from brain imaging work, that even at the very earliest ages, and stuttering begins typically fairly early, but not as soon as you start to talk. Roughly around age 2, 2.5 to 4 is when it typically erupts. So that's why a lot of folks don't really remember it starting, because it's sort of at that point where their continuous memories are not there. But they're finding that there's definitely some documentable differences in some of the brain imaging studies that have been done, suggesting that there may be some neurological predisposition for it as well. So in terms of why people stutter, we're not quite sure, but we do know a lot of people start to stutter. Actually, quite a few people, when they start stuttering, will actually recover. About 4 in 5 actually will recover without any assistance or help. But those folks who do continue to stutter past that point often will do so for most of their lives. And so the longer you've been stuttering, the less likely it is that it's something that's going to you're going to recover from. So it can be a lifelong journey for folks like Michael. And what often happens with that is it isn't just simply a speech difficulty, but it starts to interact with all kinds of aspects of your life, as Michael was describing.
It's interesting you mentioned that idea of recovery. If you go to the websites for groups that are, you know, stuttering organizations or support groups for people who stutter, there's a pretty long list of pretty famous people. James Earl Jones, the actor, Carly Simon, the singer, the vice president, Joe Biden, stutterers as young people, as children, and yet at some point were able to make a living talking or singing without stuttering. And I guess that goes to your point that many people will at some point not stutter.
Well, and many people, the important point is there's people who will recover without even having to think about it. But a lot of people, if you ask them, they still are working and controlling and still consider themselves a person who stutters, even into adulthood, because there's certain circumstances they might find themselves in. Many performers are able to do it because avoid the stuttering or at least deal with their fluency issues because they are working, singers often, it's very scripted, or actors as well. So a lot of people do stutter. If you just polled the population, about 1 in 100 stutter. So even on this university campus of close to 25,000, there's a couple hundred folks out there who are past the point where they're going to recover and consider themselves persons who stutter.
Michael, so we mentioned there that this can be genetic and seems to run in families, and that seems to be the case with your family, correct?
Yes. My mom, my grandpa, his brother, and my brother all stutter as well. And that's as far back as we know our family history, but I'm sure it goes back a lot farther than that. Like, I interviewed a geneticist at the National Institutes of Health for the film, Dr. Dennis Terena, and he actually was talking about tracing genes 750 generations back into prehistory, basically. So, it seems possible to that stuttering has always been with people. But what's interesting too is that my friend Ian, who stutters and he's in the film, he has no family history whatsoever. So as Steve was saying, it just seems very mysterious.
Did you, at some point in your life, go for therapy to try and eliminate your stutter?
Oh, yeah. I was in therapy since childhood, up until I was about 15 or 16 in high school. I saw several different speech therapists at that point, but I probably wasn't ready to look at it. Like, actually admit that I did stutter. And so it wasn't a very positive experience for me. And by the time I was 15 or 16, I just didn't want to hear the word stutter ever again, and stopped going into therapy and just did my best act like it did not exist.
Stephen, what does Camp Shoutout do for a young person, a child who has a stutter?
Well, Gordon, Camp Shoutout is a summer residential program that's been running for a number of years on Big Blue Lake in Muskegon. And it's a week-long residential camp. Kids go there. It's a regular summer camp. But the interesting thing about it is that all the kids that are there stutter. It is organized and run by a couple of great people, Julie Rayner, who is a speech-language pathologist in the Muskegon area, who is an organizer, and Kristen Camella, who's a fluency specialist, who's has a private practice in Chicago. And it's a really interesting model because most kids, if you think about it, if you have a stuttering problem, one of the biggest challenges that kids have is meeting new people and running the risk of exposing themselves as persons who stutter. And so things like summer camp for many kids is off limits to them because they just don't want to go there. And it's a brand new bunch of kids they've got to meet. And this is a great opportunity because they're able to spend the week with other kids. Many times, if you look at the demographics of stuttering, you may be the only kid in your class. You may be the only kid in your school who's experiencing that problem. And so many kids have not met other kids who stutter. So we have a large number of kids running between the ages of 8 and 16 that attend the camp. They spend a week doing all kinds of cool camp stuff, but then also there are a number of speech-language pathologists, as well as students in training, graduate students from various training programs, as well as undergraduate student volunteers, all with the goal of making this a good camp experience, but at the same time working on issues in and around stuttering. So whether it be working on behavioral techniques like you saw in the video, or we heard in the audio tape, or working on issues in and around acceptance, recognizing that you can stutter and be okay with it. Doesn't mean that you don't want it to improve, but you need to some self-acceptance. And so there's a lot of different levels that the camp directors work at Camp Shoutout, and it's a really great experience for kids.
Michael, have you embraced or come to terms with the idea that you are someone who stutters?
Well, that's something that changes day by day, I think. Some days I am cool with it, and some days it can be pretty frustrating or inconvenient. But thinking about where I was 5 years ago, I think I have come a long way. You know, like me and my brother, you know, like call each other now to like talk about funny things that have happened when we get blocked in front of a stranger or a police officer or something. But it's like really, you know, like being open with my family about it was something that really helped me a lot and kind of helped me come, you know, like I just became a father as well, which is kind of an impetus for this film, the thought that you know, my daughter might stutter too. And so, I feel a more pressing concern now to really be open about it, for the kids that I've met, while working on this film, you know, like, you know, it's not really about me if I stutter while ordering a coffee at Starbucks. I think it's important for that cashier to hear stuttering and know that it's okay. You know, that like I'm going to stutter and I'm going to smile when I stutter on my name, and that is just an okay thing, you know? So when like a kid who's 8 years old might walk into that Starbucks next week and stutter ordering a hot chocolate, that person would recognize it.
Stephen Tasco and Michael Turner, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Stephen Tasco is a professor of speech, language, and hearing at Western Michigan University. He joined us in studio. Michael Turner joined us by phone. His film, The Way We Talk, is being screened on Thursday at Kalamazoo Valley Community College. Michael Turner will also participate in a question and answer session at the event, sponsored by the Western Michigan University chapter of the National Student Speech Language Hearing Association. You can find more details, including how to get tickets, at WMUK.org.
I've started seeking out other people who stutter and listening to their stories. And somewhere along the way, I found mine.